This is the BC Resource Group's Path to Partner podcast, where we get exclusive insights from the leading figures in legal. And now, here's your host, Colin Moses.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Path to Partner podcast. Now, for those of you joining us for the first time, well, first of all, welcome. This podcast is designed to get into the minds of some of the legal industry's leaders to find out more about them, as well as the secrets to their success and what little bits of advice we can take and perhaps apply to our own careers. Now, today we are very fortunate to have with us the Gordon & Rees co-managing partner of the New York City office, Misty Maris. Now, in addition to her vast courtroom experience, Misty is a television and radio personality who serves as an independent legal analyst on of-the-moment legal issues on various national and local news programs, including Fox News Network, Fox Business Network, CNN, HLN, Crime Watch Daily, The Nancy Grace Show, and Afternoons with Dr. Drew. So, Misty, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Awesome. Now, you've had all of these media appearances, but you know you haven't made it till you've been on the Path to Partner podcast. So.
Now I know this is it.
This is it. We made it. All right, cool. Yeah, could you just tell us a little bit about your practice and your firm and a little bit about your background?
Yes, absolutely. So I practice in many different areas of law. Right now, I do a lot of employment litigation, commercial litigation, white-collar crime litigation. At the end of the day, I'm a trial attorney, and that is what I've always wanted to be. So I started out my career in a litigation role and just worked my way up the ranks. And in addition to doing the trial work at a law firm, I also had the media goals, which you did reference. I'm lucky because I've managed to find a very good balance between being a practicing attorney, managing the New York City office of Gordon and Rees, and also maintaining a media presence where we can not only promote the firm, but also explain some of the more complicated areas of the law to somebody in their living room.
That's awesome. So from the start, you wanted to be like both a lawyer and a celebrity media personality as well.
Well, thank you very much for the celebrity. I mean, that might that might be an over-exaggeration. But yes, I always had an interest in the media aspect because the law to me was something that I knew from a very young age that I wanted to do. My father was an attorney, had a small practice upstate in Syracuse, New York. So I'd always been exposed to it. And I've been working at my dad's firm since I can remember being my first jobs being in high school, just helping to do filings or, you know, helping with administrative tasks around the office. But that's what I knew I wanted to do. In addition to that, the law can be something that's so complicated to the average person. Part of what I love about my job and client relationships is helping to really break down what seems to be the mystery of the law to our clients, to explain what the path is, what the litigation might hold. But in addition to that, reaching a national audience with some of the media opportunities that I've been so fortunate to have been granted is really very satisfying and really does take away some of that mystery that people seem to be a little bit afraid of the law. The law is not something to be afraid of. It's just something that needs to be broken down in order for someone to understand.
Yeah, it does seem like that it's a very complicated niche to those on the outside. Like, it's like, oh, well, you know, I know a lawyer, I'm just going to hire them. Doesn't matter what, you know, practice they are or what they do. As long as you know a lawyer, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll hire them to close my house or, you know, help me out with whatever issue I've got going on. And it's like, people are just not very sophisticated when it comes to the different nuances than in law. So, yeah, that's a really good point you made. So you said you were working for your dad in high school. You've had this in you for like since you were a kid.
Yes, I absolutely have. So it's funny to think of the path that you take. I started off working for my dad in high school, participating in what was a community program at the time where in Syracuse, New York, which was called Youth Court. So as a high schooler, we were learning the different roles in the courthouse, learning the different roles of lawyers. And I knew that when I went to college that I wanted to pursue a career in law. So I focused on that in my college studies. I had a major at SUNY Binghamton University. Philosophy, politics, and law, where the focus was on helping you understand what it was like going to be like to be in law school. But coupled with that, education is obviously so important, but it's also getting that practical experience, because we know as lawyers, there are so many different options in the legal field, whether it be transactional, litigation, corporate. There's just a myriad of different types of areas of law that you can pursue. For me, I sat in the courtroom. You know, I helped with transactional stuff. My dad was a jack of all trades. You know, it's a small law firm, so they're kind of dealing with a lot of different types of legal issues. But I knew that I wanted to stand up in the courtroom and be the one that was litigating and trying the case for my clients.
Awesome. Now, the most important question about when you were working for your dad in high school was, did you get paid or were you paid in dinner when you got home?
I was paid in dinner when I got home, I believe. I don't remember having an actual salary, but I was, I suppose perhaps I had a few less chores that I had to do around the house since I was working at the office.
Cool. So what were your early years in legal like?
So my early years in legal, I started off at a large firm, Wilson Elser, Moskowitz, Edelman & Dicker, an excellent experience right after law school. And graduating from law school and being in education-wise, so I went from college directly to law school. During every summer during law school, I was in mock trial. I was working at law firms trying to learn the ropes, the different areas of law. But then being released into the world as a litigator is a much different situation. Right, now, suddenly, you have all these cases, and you're the one who's really getting your hands dirty and digging deep to understand the case, to communicate that with your client, to manage both the litigation and the client relationships. And Wilson Elser was an excellent place to do that. Obviously, it's hard work. It's litigation. It's fast-paced. That's in my world, that's what I thrive on, that fast-paced, never-stop momentum. But one thing I do think that is really important to focus on as a young lawyer, and what I really did try to do, is to go that extra mile to truly understand what you're doing and to truly educate yourself on all of your cases, all the nuances of the type of law that you're practicing. Because I see, and now in a management role, I see that sometimes people and, you know, extraordinarily bright associates, brilliant minds, get bogged down in the fact that there's a lot, that it's fast paced, that there's a lot of work, but don't take the time to truly understand it. Almost like a cookie cutter mentality. Can't be like that. If you take the time right from the get-go to really take that extra step to truly understand litigation, go through the court rules, understand the content of the subject matter of the litigation, the substantive issues, you'll find yourself in such a better and happier position as you truly embrace your legal career.
Right. So you said there was a bit of an adjustment period after leaving law school. So like some of the associates that I've spoken to recently have said that law school did not prepare them for life after law school at all. Like there was nothing on billable hours. There was nothing on building your network or anything like that. It was strictly just, this is the law. This is what you need to know. But most of what they need to know has come since graduating law school. Did you find a similar experience?
Well, I will say, Colin, nobody taught me about the billable hour in law school. I might have thought about a different path. No, I kid, but that certainly is something that is very true, that in law school, there's a lot of focus on learning the substantive material and the subject matter. I know that I took some other classes in law school that related specifically to New York practice and gave you a little bit of insight as to the federal rules of procedure and what I knew I might want as a litigator. But no, there isn't a lot of focus on business generation, client development, networking, the billable hour, what it's practically like to work at a law firm, which is why And every law school definitely has these programs, and it's an excellent way to supplement the actual educational experience to try and get out there, even if it's just during the summer or breaks or at some point, because you know law school is all consuming, but to get out there and get some practical experience in different areas of the law, whether it be at law firms. I worked with the Attorney General's office, did some public service, just to understand what it is like to be in the shoes of a practicing lawyer, because that is not really a part of the educational experience in law school.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I found from everyone that I've spoken to. It's like, well, you know, law school was great. We learned the law, but, you know, 80% of the stuff that we learned is not what I need on a day-to-day basis here, so.
Right. One thing about law school, I do think, and probably as you move through your career, you almost forget that this is such an important piece of working in any capacity in an attorney role, is that analytical mind, that ability to break down what the elements of a case, apply the facts to the law, and analyze it, ultimately to communicate it to your client. So yes, you're learning that thought process when you're in law school. It's part of working in, you know, Socratic method, preparing briefs and for writing classes. But really that one skill is the skill that translates most directly to actually practicing law, because that's what you're doing every day, right? You're taking the factual situations that your client is presenting to you, you're analyzing it and applying the law, and then you're explaining it to the client and ultimately, you know, advocating your position to the court. But a lot of the job is to ensure that your clients truly understand the risk-benefit analysis in moving forward in any sort of litigation.
Right, right. So you mentioned that you are like a mile an hour, like 100 miles an hour person, that, you know, you've always got stuff going on. How do you deal with the work-life balance challenge? Like, do you have time for outside interests?
You know, work-life balance is actually a very challenging aspect of the job. And in litigation, it certainly can be difficult to manage that, because the job, and to me, I love what I do. So I don't want to be one of those people that says, well, if you love your job, it's not a job. No, you still need to make sure that you have time for yourself, that you do take time just for your own well-being, to spend time with family and friends. I'm very lucky, because part of what I do for my job, which is so heavily supported by my firm, is also work on the media aspect, which to me is a very important piece of my experience as a litigator and as an attorney. So that to me is almost like the gray area of like, is it work? Is it, you know, my own personal time? But it certainly is something that I'm very fortunate. And when I speak to younger lawyers about this issue of work-life balance, I always say that, yes, it takes a little time to find your groove. It takes a little time to figure how to focus on time management, maximizing time, and balancing that with a personal life. I will say it is not impossible. And after a certain amount of time, I do. I absolutely spend time with family and friends. And you can find a way to really know how to manage your time in the office and maintain your clients without literally working 24 hours a day.
Right.
If anyone feels discouraged, it is 100% possible. And it just comes down to really prioritizing. And like I said, it's finding that groove. It's finding that perfect, the job that you love, the type of law that you love. And don't be afraid, and I say this to my associates all the time, to pursue other aspects of a legal career that might not be traditionally in front of you at a law firm. For instance, you know, I speak at many conferences. I always like to give young associates the opportunity to participate in those speaking engagements or to perform trainings for clients or to educate clients on legal materials, CLE classes. There's so much more that you can do that can bring you such happiness, other than just being in the office 24/7, if that's your thing.
Right. And I mean, I totally agree with what you've just said, because there are so many different paths that you can take once you finish law school that sometimes you don't even think of. You know, like one of the other guests that we've got on the podcast, he started a sports media company and, you know, was involved with the television rights of the different the sports teams in Europe and some of the ones over here as well. And that's like when you're in law school, you don't think of, oh, this is a career path I might be able to go down, you know?
Absolutely. And that's why it's great to, for instance, this podcast that you're spearheading is an excellent way to disseminate that information, that there are so many opportunities. And sometimes it just takes asking, going to a mentor or another attorney or to a presentation at your school or whatever it might be, to learn about some other opportunities that might be out there that not only help you grow as an attorney, but also can make you a well-rounded person and very happy in your career.
Definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you want, isn't it? To just be happy in your career, enjoying what you do for a living, and hopefully making some money at the same time. Yeah. All right. So, Misty, in the climate that we're in now, like, we've got the whole Me Too movement going on, and there's a lot of different things coming up where it's talking about the wage gap between men and women in the workplace. Did you find that you had specific challenges as a woman in the legal field?
When I first began, I had a bit of a challenge with being a young female lawyer and being taken seriously. You know, walking into that deposition where there's 20, 25 people that all know each other and, you know, many of them men, and it can be intimidating to break through that. But I will say, of course, there are challenges for females in the legal industry. It's something that I think is becoming more and more equalized as time goes on, as more women are skyrocketing up into partnership and management and leadership roles in law firms. But one thing I've always thought, even in those moments where perhaps there's something inappropriate or somebody, you know, you're not really getting the treatment that you believe you should as a female lawyer, I've never, ever let that discourage me or get me down. I've actually taken it and used it as motivation to be that much better. And one of the aspects of that I remember clear as day, being that young lawyer in a deposition and being the lead in a plaintiff's dep with a bunch of other lawyers looking at you thinking, oh, is she going to be able to do this? And just running away with it and doing an excellent job and being educated. So when you're challenged, you are coming back with that response. You know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. Education and understanding the law and understanding the subject matter and really just embracing it is your weapon against any sort of issue relating to that.
Wow, awesome. Now, along those same lines, what we've noticed here is like a lot of our clients are looking for diversity in their new hires. So they don't outright say, listen, we want to have minorities and women, but they're like, you know, if you could give us some clients that are a little more diverse, what we're used to, that would be great. Have you noticed the same thing in the field? And are you, is the same thing happening at Gordon & Reese?
Yeah, there certainly is an absolutely that we at Gordon & Reese, our philosophy is we want everybody to come in the door and to get a chance. And there certainly is a push towards diversity and not just the legal field, but in the corporate world, there's corporate diversity projects, corporate diversity momentum, and yes, exactly, programs that are in place in order to get some people in the door that perhaps would not have made it in the door from the get-go. And of course, you want the most talented and motivated people. And certainly that push towards diversity helps to do that because you're getting more people in the door that absolutely deserve an opportunity.
Right. Right. And more people have access to law school now than have had in the past. So you're getting a lot more of those candidates coming in. And, you know, a lot of them are just as qualified, if not more qualified than, you know, what you might have seen before. So
100%. I mean, yeah, we see so many. It's I wish we could, you know, there's so many people that you meet that you bring in to interview, and they are just outstanding candidates. So there are a lot of excellent young lawyers out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So Misty, how would you describe your leadership style today?
For me, I truly believe in a collaborative environment. So I've worked with many different people throughout my career, and I've really taken, and that's how you become your own lawyer, right? You watch, you observe, you learn from mentors, you learn from other people, and you piece all that together to create your personal style. And once you hit your personal style, that's when the success is going to go off the rails, because you're not pretending to be a different person than you are, right? So you're using your own skill set, your own strengths, your own weaknesses in your job to your advantage to create your own style as a lawyer. So that is something that I try to absolutely disseminate to the associates and the senior counsel and the attorneys that I work with at Gordon and Reese. I always want everyone to feel like we're all in a partnership. We're collaborating. I want everyone's opinion. We want everybody to participate and to be a part of strategizing as to how we should handle a case moving forward or what the next steps might be. I'm always saying this, it's we. It's not I, you know, it's not can, you know, you do this research and then I'll communicate with the client. It's we. It's making sure everybody is a part of the process from the inception of the case to the trial of the case and feels that they are an integral part in the decision making that goes on along the way. And to me, that's how I am in my life. So Colin, as I said, when I think you really hit your, you know, your gold moment is when you're being yourself in your job and you're taking those skills that you would, the way that you would be in your life, and you're applying it to your job. And I often say that to associates, you know, if they say, should I do this? Should I do that? Well, okay, let's think about how you would like to approach this situation. And then we can talk about what that means for the context of the litigation. So it's really a collaborative mentality and making sure that everybody feels like they're very involved in the process along the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect, because one of the things that people, I guess, value most at their job is feeling valued. And when they're part of the process, it's collaborative, they get that value, they feel value, and, you know, it makes them enjoy their job and perform better.
Absolutely. And what's so interesting about that is you're completely right, because that feeling of being valued and being a part of the decision making and being a part of the outcome of the case is really, really important. Being a part of the client communications. And when somebody feels valued, not only do they work harder, but we should be valuing them, because every single person that touches a case is adding value to the litigation and ultimately the client relationships and everything that goes along with that. So being an excellent lawyer, being an excellent litigator, if you're working in litigation, or, you know, being off the charts with your skill set, and also ensuring that you're getting the full picture of what it's like to take a case from inception to trial is critical in the development of any associate at a law firm.
Right. Now, have you had any feedback?
I have had some feedback. For the most part, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but for the most part, it's been.
Oh, you could toot away. It's fine. You're a celebrity lawyer. It's fine. You can do it.
Thank you. I like that. Maybe I'll add that to my profile, celebrity lawyer. So yes, I've definitely had feedback. People have said that they really enjoy the fact that they're looped in on client contact. I think that that's something that oftentimes get lost, because it is difficult to manage a full caseload. And also if you're a business generator and you have relationships with clients, very often it's not that somebody actually wants to exclude someone from that relationship. It's just that you're working really hard and ultimately, you know, you're the one that's going to be making those calls. But I've had a lot of associates say that they truly appreciate being involved in the client contact. I've had some say that, and Colin, this is something that I truly believe in and that I do. I am very much somebody who wants to ask an associate why, and to really think about the issues, to really think them through and come up with an analysis and a strategy that almost challenge them to think about every aspect of the case and how that analysis is going to impact it. So I do like to ensure that an associate is getting the most well-rounded experience by always having to truly think for themselves. And as much as that might not be pleasant in the moment, at the end of the day, many associates have said that they thought that that was a really great learning experience because they were never working by rote. They were always looking with the end goal in mind and asking why. Why would we do something? Why would we take this path A instead of path B? And truly understanding those critical choices, which are oftentimes a bit subjective, right? Based on your own personal experience. Maybe you've been burned in the past doing A, so you'd rather go B. But they can be subjective, but really having the opportunity to think that through and to understand the impact that that will have on every critical aspect of the case is extremely valuable for a young lawyer.
Awesome. This might be a few different parts to your answer to this question, but what do you feel helped you most on your path to partner, on your way up to where you are now? And is there anything that you would have done differently that you think might have advanced your career quicker?
Yes. So I truly believe that much of the success that I've found is based on the fact that I had excellent mentors. I really did. I had excellent mentors coming through the ranks. And
well, you had your dad from high school, so that was like number one.
I've had Mercedes Coleman, who I work with at Gordon & Reese, has been an extraordinary mentor to me. And just mentors along the way that truly cared about the development of young lawyers. And I want to be that for others. But I also think that I don't know if anything could have been expedited or sped up, because I truly believe that it just takes time to truly harness your craft, to become an excellent lawyer first, and then explore all of these other amazing opportunities that there are in the world. For instance, as I said, for me, the media is such an important piece of what I do, but also just to try a case, to present to a client, to conduct a CLE, to do a corporate training for companies around the country to make sure that they're compliant. All of that comes after becoming an excellent lawyer and finding your niche in a really expansive legal world.
Wow. Okay, so what advice would you give to people that are looking for a mentor?
I would say that if you don't approach somebody, then it's not going to come your way. So make sure that, take the initiative to get out there, meet with people, meet with other partners at the firm, reach out. It's so shocking how open, it shouldn't be shocking, but people are very open to helping others and very open to talking about their experiences. And yeah. So reaching out to somebody, shooting an email over, and saying, hey, would you like to get coffee? I'd like to hear about your personal experiences in this field. I think all of that it's the simple stuff, Colin, but it's the stuff we forget about when we're working so hard on a day-to-day basis. But that's all very valuable. If you get out there, network, join bar associations, join organizations, go to presentations, and don't forget to do that because you're so bogged down in the work. Because ultimately, you never know what connection you're going to make, and you never know who you're going to come across who could just be a true inspiration.
Awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, that is great advice. So, Misty, I wanted to ask you, when you're making bets in people you invest in, people you hire in, people that you bring in from outside, what characteristics do you look for?
The most important characteristic that I always look for is initiative, because it's just somebody who wants it, somebody who wants to be an excellent litigator. And to me, it doesn't really matter what your expertise is in any sort of subjective matter, but when you're talking about litigation attorneys, just that initiative, they want to get out there, they want to get their hands dirty, they don't mind writing, the brief or they also would want to be in court and arguing the motion. Just somebody who really wants to be a part of that process. And to me, that is the most critical quality that you're going to find in a potential candidate.
Definitely. So do you have like the best interview questions for when you're interviewing candidates?
Well, one of the questions that I always ask, and I think it's partially from my own personal experience growing up from a baby lawyer throughout the legal field, is what experience have you had that you thought was negative but ended up being an amazing learning experience. So much of what we learn along the way is based on our experiences, right? So a case that we handled that didn't turn out right, or something that turned out differently than you thought you would. And very oftentimes, it's very easy to get bogged down in what might seem to be a negative experience. Oh, we thought we were going to win that trial. We thought we were going to win that motion, but we ended up, you know, not winning that, or we had to change our strategy, whatever it might be. But my question is, how do you turn that type of experience around and learn from it and grow from it? And that's a question I always ask, because I do think that that is a quality in the legal field, because look, that's part of the game, right? Not everything is going to go your way all the time.
It's part of life. That's how life is, you know?
Yeah, that's how life is. So how are you going to take those experiences and learn and grow from them? And I think that many times you'll find very interesting answers. And I learn sometimes in those interviews, I'm like, hey, that's a great takeaway from that situation. But I really do think that it gives you a little bit of insight into somebody's initiative, motivation, what they want to be as a lawyer, and how they can overcome some of those obstacles that are inevitably going to come your way.
Definitely. So what career and I guess life advice would you or do you give to college grads, as well as the more experienced lawyers that would be looking to transfer laterally?
Well, I, especially with college grads or law school grads, I always say, don't be afraid to try, because sometimes it can be very difficult to go outside the box to say, you know, I'm interested in this, but I don't know, maybe I don't want to do that, or maybe it's scary, or maybe I don't think I'm qualified. I say, do not be afraid to try. Gather every experience that you can. If it means, you know, if you're unsure of what area of law you want to go into, try to get those internships at different places, and to learn about different areas of law, to learn about different career paths, and look outside the box, because you never know when there's going to be something that might not be the traditional law firm job that may just be the perfect fit for you. And as far as laterals are concerned, it's similar advice. When you're a lateral attorney, there's different pressures, right? Because maybe you're bringing a book of business somewhere. Maybe you're looking to expand your business in a different way, or there's a reason why you're looking to move from one firm to the next, a very specific reason. But when it comes down to it, it really is about finding your way in this field that has so many different options, and finding something that really is the perfect fit for you. No one's ever going to be happy being the, you know, square peg in the round hole. That's just not going to work out. So you need to really harness that and understand that you can find success and be happy in the legal field.
Great. Now, are there any things that have happened in interviews when you're interviewing people where you've heard and you've just said, oh no, this person is not right?
You know, I would say one, and I think this is pretty universal, and I'm sure when if you're helping somebody prepare for an interview, this would be what you'd advise against, is it's always off-putting to me and colleagues as well when we talk about this, when you ask that question, which always comes up at every interview, I mean, no matter what, why are you leaving this, or why would you like to come here, or why would you leave this job for another job? And when the answer is something very negative, oh, well, I hate the people I work with, or I don't like the hours, or this or that. I mean, yeah. Colin, you're laughing, but this happens.
Right.
And
hopefully not with any of the candidates we submit anyway.
I hope not. But truly that, outside of course, there's practical reasons why somebody's going to be looking to make a change. But when I think about a legal career and think about bringing somebody in the door, you really want a candidate who's going to look positively on the experiences they have, even if they aren't quite the right fit for them, and look to build to where they want to go. So instead of negative, you know, taking something that might not be working for you and presenting it in a positive way, or even finding the positivity in it. And I really do believe that would be the most, when that happens at an interview, Colin, it's kind of that when it shuts down a little bit, because we do want people who are going to be wanting to build on their experiences to achieve their goals.
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to building business, Misty, how do you, I guess, advise your associates? What advice would you have for those that are looking to, you know, they've just started and, you know, they're looking to make themselves more valuable, build business for themselves? What type of things would you suggest for them to do?
Yes, and that's a great question, Colin, because it does come up all the time. As business generators in law firms, we know that that's a whole different aspect of the job, and we work for the reason to keep our clients happy and to do the best job and present them with the best legal representation that we can. So number one, and I always say this to young lawyers because I truly appreciate that they want to get out there and they're taking the initiative to be in the marketplace. It is to be an excellent lawyer. Be an excellent lawyer, because that is how you're going to give your clients the best services, which is the goal. And then in addition to that, don't be scared. Be out there. Go to the networking event. You're tired. You know what? Go for the hour to the dinner or the happy, whatever it might be. Because having that face-to-face contact, building those client relationships, engaging with your clients, and being able to litigate their case to the nth degree, but also making a personal connection is very important. I always try for associates that would like to participate in business generation, I think a great way to do that is to partner up with somebody at the firm, maybe be a part of a presentation that you're doing for a client, that a partner is doing for a client, be a part of any sort of situation where you're going to be able to present your skill set to that client. The other piece is really trying to stay be a part of those client communications, as we talked about before, being a part of the case in every aspect, every step of the way. Don't be afraid to say to the partner, hey, would it be okay if I participate in this call or if I come with you to XYZ? Even if the answer is no, it shows that it's the way to make those personal connections to develop client relationships.
Right. Do you remember how you got your first client?
Oh, yes. Yes. So my first client came to me through working with somebody that we did an excellent job on the case. I sat second seat at a trial. We did, the client felt that we did a phenomenal job. The client really appreciated the work, and the partner that worked on that client with me had looped me in, had let me be a part of those communications, which is excellent. And to me, the way it should be. And as time went on, you know, people leave one job, go to another job, spin-offs of corporations and whatnot. That partner and I were really able to focus on building that business. And excellent results brings you clients. That's why I'm so, it's true. There's so many opportunities out there, but really being a great lawyer is your best press.
So at this point, would you say most of your business comes from referrals, people that have seen you on TV, like how does it, how do you generate mostly now, or is it just repeat?
No, so I definitely have quite a few institutional clients with repeat business doing a lot of general consulting and then handling their litigation. But yes, Colin, a lot of it comes from referrals. A lot of it comes from being out there in the marketplace, meeting with potential clients, and just being out there and presenting your skill set, whether it be at presentations, participating in conferences, and word of mouth between different clients. It's amazing when you put yourself out there, the return that you can get. And to me, it's always just don't be scared. Go out, try it, pitch the client. And because you're never going to know, or you're never going to establish that relationship if you don't try.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. Now, how do you interview and hire? Is it 3-4 interviews? Is it 2 interviews? Where are you finding the candidates mostly? And if somebody wanted to be in front of you at some stage, how would they go about it?
So we generally will do a couple of rounds of interviews, usually 3, because it's very important, I believe, for all of the people that are going to be working with a potential candidate to be a part of the interview process. I don't like to have one or two, you know, that's okay, we have 1 or 2 decision makers and then all of a sudden a new person is starting. I've really tried to ensure that all the partners at the firm, all the senior counsel, all of the people who are going to be working with a potential candidate have the opportunity to meet them. And that works both ways, right? Because you want the candidate to come in to a place where they understand, all right, this is going to be my team. This is going to be who I'm working with. We also really like to bring in another associate. So there's a little bit of learning about, okay, what's it like to be an associate at this firm? So if you come out of the interview process, a candidate, the goal is for that candidate to have a really good idea about what the work environment and what the work would be like, that they've had the opportunity to meet everybody. We've found many candidates from wonderful companies like yourself. We think recruitment companies are very excellent resources. We do have some come to us through programs at various law schools. And right. then we have lateral partners that come to us that perhaps were at other firms, or lateral candidates that are looking to be on a national platform. So our firm, we have offices in across the country. So if somebody's looking to expand their practice from maybe something localized to a national practice, it's a great firm to come to. So that's very often how we find potential candidates.
Awesome.
I mean, well, I get some people that just email me. I always try to get back to them. So,
well, that's it. We'll give your email address out at the end of this, and then have all the candidates emailing you directly.
Yes, well, because you know what, I'm all about giving someone a chance. So if I see a resume come in, it's not lost on me. I make sure it goes to the right person. to handle.
I mean, that's amazing that you are that open. In all honesty, because like. You know, when you're at that level, like many of the managing partners, senior partners that we've dealt with, they, you know, don't look at resumes or see anyone until like it's final interview time.
Right, right. Well, maybe for me, you know what? I like to be involved.
Yeah. No, clearly. I mean, we after everything you've said, we could get you're very hands on, like to be involved. And yeah, somehow you find the time for everything.
Yes. I mean, that's sometimes my call on your twist. When you asked me before, how do I do my work-life balance? That's probably my one, for me, one thing I always have to tell myself is, okay, you don't have to be involved in everything. Just do your best. But no,
but that's how you're wired. It's tough when you're wired that way. It's like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do that.
But in a firm, and Gordon & Reese is an excellent firm, and with the national practice and with, you know, working with clients, doing the media and trying cases and working up files. And really, I never wanted to give up practicing. My core, I'm a trial attorney. Yeah. So it really is, to me, I want everybody to have an excellent experience and to learn and grow. And the only way to do that, I think, is to really maintain some of the stuff that oftentimes can get pushed to the wayside. But I like to be involved in all of that.
Definitely. Definitely. So what is your industry outlook for the next 2 to 5 years?
So right now, obviously on the litigation front, especially in the employment world, there's a lot of litigation out there. I think we're going to continue to see that. But a big piece of that is coming from clients and we defend, you know, corporations from, you know, the small mom and pop shop to the multi-million dollar corporation. So when you're running that gambit, what I've truly found is that especially in this Me Too era, corporations want to be educated. They want to know what they can do to make the work environment a safe and happy place. So there has been a great deal of a push, especially in the employment law sector, to get out there and educate the clients, conduct sensitivity trainings, employee trainings, you know, diversity trainings, implicit bias training is big now too.
Well, we had the Starbucks thing just, last week, right?
Absolutely. Yes, Starbucks closed down to conduct implicit bias training in all of their branches. And we, you know, our firm has actually been educating in that type of training for a bit now. And it's now becoming a little bit more of something that we're getting those requests to do. And I think that a lot of corporations, they truly want to comply with the law. And a great way to do that is to make sure that that their employees and their managers are educated on their rights and responsibilities in the workplace. So I do think throughout this period of time, in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, there's going to be a great deal of a push towards that, and possibly even, you know, where there might be mandatory legal requirements to do that, or to have certain content. So that is certainly an area of law that I think we're going to be seeing explode. And I'm not just talking about the litigation. As I said, I'm talking about that, keeping the clients up to speed on this ever-changing area of law in the employment sector, which is now coming under fire. And as I said, we get our clients say, we want our employees to be happy. We want our employees to have a happy, safe work environment. come in and tell us what the law is, because education in that front is key. You're not going to be compliant if you don't know what you need to be compliant with.
Now, how do you advise your clients when it comes to the implicit like bias training? Are you making videos and presenting them? Are you making presentations? Like, how are you doing that?
Yes. Yeah, so in general, so I work with, we will work on a nationwide basis, and we have great resources at our firm. I do my own presentations, actually. I don't think that would surprise you, Colin. But I craft presentations that are ultimately approved by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or the New York State or New Jersey or Connecticut, whatever state we're working with equivalent, to ensure that we're giving the most up-to-date information. And I mean, I supplement these presentations all the time to have the most up-to-date information or the most up-to-date examples from what would be happening on the news and in the newsreel, because that really captures the attention of the clients. When you think about it, it doesn't seem like some of those situations that you see on screen, you're going to see the most extraordinary situations, right? When you're talking about what you see on the news, you're going to see the extremes, but there's a lot of gray. And that's very often what we focus on presenting, is that not everything is going to be, you know, the Harvey Weinstein case or Matt Lauer or something like that, that there's a lot of gray in between. And we want our employers that we work with and that we represent to be armed with what they need to be in order to ensure that their work environment is a great place to work, that's free of any harassment and discrimination.
Definitely. Awesome. All right, Misty. Well, thank you so much. We're going to wrap it up now. I know you have a lot of engagements, speaking engagements, TV appearances. Where can we see you? Have you got anything coming up? Anything interesting that you're working on?
Yes, absolutely. So I on a weekly basis, I do Fox CNN, HLN. So oftentimes, that's based on the newsreel. So I pop up when there's a hot legal issue, which there happens to be almost every day.
Every week. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Misty Maris, and also on a YouTube channel, mistymaris.com. And very oftentimes we'll post those appearances. And as I said, so much of what's going on in the news today is actually touching our lives as attorneys. We're in a very exciting time for lawyers because the law is, you know, it's really evolving, and we're seeing a lot of big landmark decisions coming down that are going to impact your everyday practice. So I would love for your listeners to tune in.
Definitely. All right, Misty, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Colin. I really appreciate it.
All right. Awesome.
Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Now, whether you're an attorney looking for the next step in their career or a law firm looking to hire the top 15% in your niche, visit us at bcresourcegroup.com to see how we can help.
Thanks for listening to the Path to Partner podcast. For more exclusive content, log on to bcresourcegroup.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes.